good morning. I was waiting for you all to finish loving on one another. I'm going to have to do like you do because these are, I'm going to have to look over. These are for reading, but when I look up at you, you're all a big blur. So I'm going to have to go right on the tip of my nose. So doesn't that look attractive? Okay. So I don't think yours will work. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't God good? Yeah, I think I'll just, that's uncomfortable sitting there squishing the end of my nose. I'll just have to take them on and off. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We do love you, Lord. We do love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. Lord, we know we cannot do a single thing. Not a single thing. Not a single thing without your help. We thank you, Father, for your presence this morning. Lord, I ask that you would minister individually to each of the people here today. Let them hear those things that you have for them to hear, and they may not even be things that I will say, but let them hear from the Spirit of God this morning, Father, a quickening of the Spirit, Lord, for their need. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I've asked Dwight to put something up on the overhead, which I think is kind of cute. This is, who likes Charlie Brown? I like Charlie Brown. So Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty, probably one of my favourite characters, a bit of a tomboy. And Peppermint Patty says, "Lately everything seems to bother me. How do you mean? What do you think security is, Chuck?" She was called Charlie Chuck. "Security. Security is sleeping in the back seat of the car. When you're a little kid and you've been somewhere with your mum and dad and it's night and you're riding home in the car, you can sleep in the back seat. You don't have to worry about anything. Your mum and dad are in the front seat and they do all the worrying. They take care of everything. That's real neat, but it doesn't last. Suddenly you're grown up and it can never be that way again. Suddenly it's over and you'll never get to sleep in the back seat again. Never. Never? Absolutely never. Hold my hand, Chuck." Oh, I love Charlie Brown. Anyway, I wanted to do holding hand. But thank God, you know what? I just loved that because it's true, we do need each other, but even more so, we need Jesus. And I wanted to talk about, you know, that feeling of security and where that comes from. I was watching, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I saw this show on TV. I think it's called Saved. It's kind of like a doco of these extraordinary, you know, things that happen where people find themselves in the middle of a rescue situation and you know, they end up saving someone's life. And anyway, there was this this particular show that I was watching. There were these young students that were in this sort of snow mountain area, and they had their instructor with them, and that day they had planned to go out. Did anyone see this one? No? They had planned to go up the mountain. And they were kind of like in this little valley area, all in their snow gear, you know, all rugged up nice and warm. But then the clouds and this weather started to come on in, and the instructor said, "No, we're not going. It's too dangerous." And so they thought, okay, well, we'll just take pictures. And the students were taking pictures, and one of them, as he was taking a picture, he saw this trail of what red up the mountain, further up the mountain, and it was all sort of, you know, clouds were coming in. And he said to the instructor, "What is that?" And then they thought they could make out a couple of bodies. Anyway, to cut a long story short, you know, here's the instructor and this student braving it and going up this mountain anyway in spite of the weather, and finding two men that had actually fallen off the cliff and were lying there very badly injured. But anyway, the thing that spoke to me is that as they did all that they could, they were bandaging them up and trying to keep them warm, and they were going in and out of consciousness, and they started thinking, you know, the student had never seen anything like this, and none of them had experienced this, and started to think, oh, I hope that rescue comes soon. You know, what are we going to do? And they start to think about what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, and I'm sitting there watching it thinking, oh boy. And then all of a sudden they could hear and see the rescue helicopter coming around the mountain. And I'm sitting there in the lounge room and there's just relief. You know, you just suddenly, you all know what that feels like, don't you? When all of a sudden, you know, and it could be something little but something maybe you're struggling with or having a problem with, and all of a sudden there's an answer for it. And that relief that you feel, and that's what they said. They said, when we heard that chopper and we saw that chopper coming around, this just relief filled over us. And I was thinking about that and I thought, you know, the Lord wants us to live perpetually in a state of relief. Not going from anxious moment to anxious moment. Let's not kid ourselves. We will face difficulties. And I'm not saying that to speak anything negative over us. It's just a reality. It is part of life. But I am convinced, and I want to encourage you this morning, I am totally 100% convinced that we can live perpetually inside. See, there can be things going on out here, but they're not supposed to get on in here. And what we have in here is the peace of God, which passes all understanding. This is what we respond to. And our faith comes out of that place of, out of a response of the relief that we have in knowing all that the Lord has given and done for us and promised us, and that resting place in Him. So I wanted to tell you, based on our little Charlie Brown, Charlie asking, you know, what is security? Lying in the back seat, falling asleep. What a great picture. I mean, I remember that as a kid, being able to just fall asleep in the back seat. And I don't know about you, but, you know, there's been times in my life when I thought, Lord, gosh, I kind of wish I could go back and be a kid again, because Mum and Dad took care of everything. I didn't have to do anything. And you don't have any worries when you're a kid. But, you know, we're His kids and we shouldn't be worrying about anything. We shouldn't be anxious about anything. But I wanted to give you the dictionaries, not the Bible, but the dictionary's definition of security, which to me also is our Bible definition. But security is certainty, safe future, assured future, safety, reliability, dependability, solidness, and soundness. Now, Charlie Brown's definition of security, it was him in the back seat not worrying about a single thing, not a single thing. But I want you to turn to Matthew 6:27, or you can just listen, because I'm going to give you some of the things that Jesus said. I'm going to flick through about four or five scriptures. Matthew 6:27, you can just listen. Jesus himself said, which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? In other words, you know, and he said, by worrying, we can't change a single thing. So worrying doesn't help us, but yet it seems to be something that, you know, is the first place that the human, our human frailty or our humanity goes to, is, you know, that start to worry. But, you know, we have to cast down those imaginations and those things, and not just cast them down, but slap them down hard. Slap them down hard. Now, 1 Peter 5:7, just out of the Amplified, listen to this. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares about you, and I love this, with deepest affection, and watches over you very carefully. The Lord is aware of everything going on in our lives. Nothing gets past Him. He doesn't get caught out. He doesn't get surprised. We do from time to time, but He doesn't. So He watches over us. He cares for us with deepest affection and watches over us very carefully. Philippians 4:6 in the Amplified. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, Continue to make your specific requests known to God. He tells us to bring everything to Him, everything. But He doesn't notice the order of this. He says, first, don't be anxious and don't worry about it. You know, he doesn't say pray first and then don't be anxious. No, he actually says to us, don't be anxious about it. Don't worry about it. Just bring it all to me. And then Jesus says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. You know these scriptures. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I just want you today to allow these things to speak personally to you and to wash over you. Isaiah 26 verse 3. You will keep him, that's me, that's you, in perfect peace. See, it's one thing to know, it's to say, oh yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I know that scripture. Well, we know it when we do it. And I know that sounds hard, but that's the truth. We know it when we actually are doing it and we're actually practicing it. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, not on the circumstances, not on the difficulty. I'm down there with you. These are things that, you know, of all of the messages over the years that I've ever had the opportunity to prepare in the Lord or to bring, this by far means the most to me. Because I have come to a place in my life, it's taken me 30 years to come to this place where it's like you recognize that the arm of the flesh and all your efforts and all of your trying, Jesus never told us to try anything. He didn't. He never said, try this. He said, do it. And he said that because he's capable and he's well able to take care of everything. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So after 30 years, I am only just, I'm ashamed to say, entering into this place where I remind myself constantly, but I actively am making a point of recognizing in here what's going, am I worried? Am I stressed? Am I getting anxious? Because sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, it just became, you know, you didn't even know. You didn't even realize. And you're praying and you're casting out and you're declaring and you're doing all of these things, but all the while doing it from an anxious place. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Great, not just me. All the while, and yet you and I, as I said, we can live in a place of perpetual relief because we know what the outcome is going to be. We know that the helicopter's coming around the mountain with the professionals that know what they're doing. You understand what I'm saying? So when going into a situation, go into it, judge what's going on in thinking and relax. Just relax or rest or let it go. So I want you to turn, because this is the key passage for today. John 13, verse 23. Now this is the scene of the Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus, he's washed their feet. He's done an act of great love and service. He's the master, the, you know, Lord of the universe, leaning down and washing the disciples' feet. And then he, you know, instructs them, says, as I've done, you know, do the same with each other. But that's not the message today. But then let's go to John 13 and verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, say that, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, Let me just tell you, at this point, the mood has changed in the room. You know, they were not really aware of what was coming. And Jesus began to get troubled in his spirit because he knew that one of his own that he loved was going to betray him. And he began to tell the disciples, and they were reclining back in at those times. The Hebrews had adopted the Persian custom of they weren't sitting in a chair at the table. They were reclining. They would lean on their arm, and then they would eat from the table. And John was right there, right next to Jesus. So if I'm Jesus and I'm leaning there, and John is here leaning, you can see the relationship. John's head was leaning back on Jesus' bosom, on his chest. So the mood changes because Jesus says to them, one of you will betray me. And it says, depending on the translation, but you can see it in Matthew, the version of this in Matthew 26, it says they grieved exceedingly. They were greatly distressed. They became very sad. See, the mood has changed. All of a sudden, they're shaken. They don't know what's going on. And they start talking amongst themselves and asking, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And Peter signals over to John and mouthing to John and says, and tries to get John's attention and says, John, ask him. Who is it? Like, ask him. Well, Peter wasn't game to ask. But Peter asked the one that was closest to Jesus, resting, leaning back on Jesus. So John leans back, and let's pick up verse 23. Now there was, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spoke. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, this is John, said to him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus told told John, he said, it's he whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, John's name literally means grace, or Jehovah is gracious. John's name means grace. And this, you know, you can see in this account here, there is a bit of a contrasting between the law and grace. And on one hand, you've got grace, John, lying back on the master, and he's the one, you know, he's got the master's ear. He's hearing his heart, and he's asking the master, and the master's not withholding anything from him. He tells him. He's the only one he tells in the room, the only one that gets it. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Now, get this. That word stayed, it actually means leaning back on. He will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is leaning back on. It's that picture of total rest and relaxation on Christ, on Jesus, because he trusts in him. Now, I want to give you the best definition that I know of, not Charlie Brown's definition of security, not the English dictionary's definition of security, but I want to give you the best one that I can find. If I was to ask each of you, what is your definition of love? Most of us would probably say 1 Corinthians, you know. We would talk about 1 Corinthians because that's the love chapter. And we would talk about how, you know, love is patient and love is kind and long-suffering, etc. And that is Jesus. That's the character of love. That is the encapsulating character of love. But that's not the actual definition of love that we need, because I don't know about you, but I can't be kind on my own, and I can't love you on my own, and I can't be gracious, and I can't be long-suffering with with you on my own. So that definition doesn't help me if it's me trying to be all of those things. But I want you to turn to 1 John 4, verse 10. In this is love. So he's now telling us what love is. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is the true definition of love. And John was able to, leaning back on the master's bosom, John referred to himself, not the disciple who loved Jesus, but he referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's where we start, folks. That's the foundation of receiving anything from God, is being able to say and receive the love that he has for you. And it's got nothing to do with what you do, what you don't do. It has everything to do. John was the youngest of the disciples, and I just love this brashness. It probably ticked everybody else off. But John had a revelation of just how much he was loved. And he, out of all of them, was the only one, you know, when the going got really, really tough. And Peter himself boasted. You read a little bit further past that. Peter himself boasted when Jesus said, you know, I'm one of you will betray me and I'm going away. Peter's like, where are you going? And no, Lord, because Jesus said, you can't come right now. You'll come later, but you can't come right now. And Peter's like, I will never betray you. I will never. If all of these others, all the other disciples forsake you, I won't. And Peter, that was, you know, Peter was boasting in his own love, and we know where that got him. That Peter, when the going got tough, in his own efforts of trying to please the master, Peter ended up, you know, denying, cursing, and fleeing. John, out of all the disciples, out of all of them, was the only one at the foot of the cross that day. And Jesus, remember what Jesus said to him. Jesus said to John, you know, behold your mother. Jesus loved John, but he loved all the others just the same. No different. He loved Peter. There was something about John, because John had a revelation and an acceptance of just how much the master loved him. That definition we just read of love, in this is love, not that I have loved God, but that God has loved me. He has loved me. If we fix our eyes on that love, that's what's unchanging. It's immovable. It doesn't change. When I was a young kid, I used to get motion sickness a lot, like, you know, traveling in the car, and we would travel every year. My parents would take us kids from Brisbane, we would drive all the way to Sydney to visit my grandparents, and I would get motion sick in the car, even into my early adult years. And the way that I would overcome that motion sickness is that I would have to fix my eyes on something that was immovable in the horizon. You know, I'd have to look at something that wasn't changing. And I was thinking, you know, if you're in a boat, used to get motion sick, seasick in a boat as well. If you're in a boat, you know, and it's okay when there's smooth sailing, but when the choppy water comes, when those difficulties come, and the boat's going like this and it's bobbing up and down, and that can cause distress. You know what motion sickness actually is? It's when your eyes and your inner ear are saying two different things. You look it up, that's the definition of motion sickness. It's when your eyes say one thing and your inner ear says the other. And so they're out of agreement. And I was thinking about that when I was thinking about this, you know, immovable love that God has for you and I. That not that I love him, he first loved me. That immovable object on the horizon, that no matter what I feel, or what I might, you know, there are times when, you know, you might feel really worthy of being loved, but then there's times when you don't. And there's times when you feel really strong and able to better express love towards others, but then there's times when you just don't. So take the pressure off and lean in hard to His love for you, because it's only out of that. Remember, He said He shed His love abroad on our hearts. It's only out of me leaning hard into Him and saying, I know You love me, Lord, and meditating on that love, that my own love, the love that He has for me, I receive and I rest in. So going back to that motion sickness, what do we do when there are those times when we are feeling a little bit wobbly in our walk, or feeling like, you know, I should be doing this, or I shouldn't be doing that, or whatever it is. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about whatever, you know. What do we do? Well, we fix our eyes on what's immovable, and that's His love for us. And the more you meditate on that, you and I meditate on that and look to that. So remember that equilibrium between what you're seeing. Let your eyes be fixed on Him, not on the circumstance, not on whether you're worthy of a breakthrough or you're not, whether you're worthy of your healing or you're not. That's just ridiculous. That is so the law. That is so works. And our works, they're filthy rags, our own righteousness. It's never going to give you an answer, ever. So when you are fixing your eyes on that immovable love of God in your life, that inner ear, let that inner ear, what you're hearing on the inside of you, line up, so that you're hearing what He has to say about you, and not letting that, you know, those contrary thoughts come on in. So what do we do when we hear those contrary things? We slap them down. We cast down those imaginations. 1 John 4:16. So we just read 1 John 4:10. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And looking at 1 John 4:16, He says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. This is John. John the Revelator. John has this amazing revelation of just how much Jesus loves him. And he could then go on to say in verse 17, so after he's telling you and I, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. And because we have known and believed the love God has for us, it says, as He is in the next verse, so are we in this world. We are far more likely and far more able and far more capable of believing that and being settled in ourselves. When we grab a hold of this and believe this, there comes a settling in our inner being. You know, in our soul, there comes a calmness to just rest in every problem, in every day of life, in every, just the day-to-day life that we live. You go through it, we go through it in a state of perpetual rest and relief. Yes. And you know, it's something we work on. Like, as I said to you, I am embarking on this journey. I am determined to go into those situations of life in a restful state of mind. And how do I do that? Oh, well, I know and I remind myself of just how much I'm loved, first of all. Secondly, that God has an answer for me. And thirdly, I believe it, that He's going to do that for me. But look at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Faith works through love. We know that. But it's not our love that it works through. Faith works through His love and a revelation of His love for us. You know, we've heard that preached so many times. You hear people say faith works through love, faith works through love. And we immediately go to that default mindset of, I've got to love. I've got to be the one loving, and the more I love, the more my faith will grow. Faith works through a revelation that I am loved of God. And when I know that, like John, and I lean back, my mind stayed in that leaning back place on the bosom of the Master. When I'm in that place, faith works because I'm resting. Matthew 22:36. It's a simple message today, but it's the most profound message if you and I will take it, a hold of it, and have that same leaning back attitude in our faith walk. Matthew 22:36. So here someone came to Jesus. They're actually trying to trick him out. Everyone there, Matthew 22:36. And they asked this question. Now remember, this is before Jesus has gone to the cross. So it's still under the law. And he says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Now, let's go back to that picture of John versus Peter. Peter tried to love God in his own strength. He tried to love God out of this, the law which required, you know, you have to love God. But the thing is, could anyone do that? No, it says no, none could keep the law. Not even the best of us or the best of them were able to fully keep the law. That's why Jesus had to come. You've got this picture of John Grace leaning in on the grace of God, leaning in on the knowing of how much he loves us. And then you've got Peter, the rock or the stone, which is a picture of, you know, that unbending law, trying to do it out of his own strength. "I will never, ever do that, Lord. I will be with you till the end. My love for you is unchanging. And I will not forsake you." Okay, Pete. Poor Pete. God's own perfect love, as I said, had to be shed abroad in our hearts. We don't have to control or have control. We don't have control over people. We don't even always have control over every situation. Things can happen that are of no fault of our own or other people are involved. But here's what we can do. We can absolutely control what we allow in here. We can absolutely, you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God dwells in us. And we can absolutely control what gets in here. So remember, you know, keeping your eyes fixed on what doesn't change. Circumstances change. Our love walk changes up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. His never, ever, ever changes. And remember, as I said, that inner ear where we are hearing right. We are hearing what he has to say. You know, hearing his words. Well, what does that look like? Okay, well, I don't know. Let's pick a financial situation. You know, "Lord, what am I going to do? I've done it not that long ago. Lord, what are we going to do about this financial situation? You know, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this?" So what's happening there is those things are starting to come in. And then, you know, the start to worry, meditating on it, thinking on it. And you're now in that boat that's going like this because the equilibrium is all over the place. You're not, the inner ear is hearing, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And the eyes are looking at something else, not the fixed horizon. It's like this. So I'm trying to show you in a practical way. What do I do? What am I going to do? Well, casting down every imagination, all those things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. And I say this, I get back into that correct place where I say this, "No, all my needs are met in Christ Jesus." I start to hear him. I start to hear what he said. And then I start to settle. I come back into a place. I start to settle in myself and peace comes. The peace of God which passes all understanding, because I'm not listening to what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh my God, how am I going to do this? How's this going to work out? And you start to try in your own logic. Dear God, that's a dangerous place. Yes. To try to work out in your own human logic and reason. And I don't know about you, but my mind goes 10 to the dozen. My mind is constantly shooting off and thinking. And the only way to bring yourself back into that place of peace is fixing your eyes on, not on the bank account or the body or the whatever's going on, but it's back on Him. I'm looking at Him. And then I start to settle in here and I start to say what He says. No, all my needs are met in Christ Jesus. And I will have more than I need. He is my full supply. And I start to see a different picture. And that's the peace of God. And that's the where you can do like Charlie Brown and you can be asleep in the back seat of the car, right in the middle of a tornado. Or you can be like John, leaning back hard on the breast of Jesus and hearing the heart of the Master and hearing Him give you answers or response to your questions. That's what a beautiful place to be in. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to us. So very, very good to us. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we don't go on this journey of life on our own. And I know you know this, but again, you know, then why do we find ourselves getting so upset about things in life? We've got to ask the honest questions. It's not about this, you know, my efforts of my faith doing anything. It's just a complete and utter surrender. Or, you know, Lord, giving that to You, totally giving that to You, casting that over on You, and You're going to deal with that. That, you know, You said I can cast all my care on You, for You care for me. And so it's a constant daily remembering and reminder that that is the place where we are to be, and we are to live out of that place. Honestly, live out of that place of constantly casting every care on the Lord. So Father, we thank You, Lord, for such a simple reminder, but we appreciate, Lord, all that You are doing in our lives. Thank You, Father. I just ask, Lord, that as we go away this week and through the rest of this year, every day, Lord, that You bring back to us these things, this picture of John leaning hard against Jesus, that place of rest, that picture of staying our mind, leaning back in our mind onto that love and hard into Christ, leaning back into His provision, leaning back into His healing, leaning back into everything that He has done for us, and coming into that place of total and complete just surrender and rest, that place of perpetual feeling of relief, even before the manifested answer. We are in a place of that relief, knowing that God is working this out. I can give that to Him and I can go to bed and sleep, or I can go about my day and I don't need to pick it up again. He's got that. He's working on that and I don't need to worry about it. I can be just like Charlie Brown and I can sleep in the back seat, not worrying about a thing. Father, You're so good to us. In Jesus' name, we bless. We bless. Amen. Thank You.